Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. We appreciate you listening to AFR and to this show. We're here till 11:30 Central Time, and then Alistair Begg will come on at 11:30, like 25 minutes from now, and he will teach the Bible. So stay tuned for that. And then Janet Mefford at 12:05 Central. We'll be here live as well. So a lot of good things coming up here today on American Family Radio. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
It's a good day. It's a little cold out there.
A little cold out there.
Just a little bit. But
little Dean Martin.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking last hour about that throwing the snow up in the air and everything.
You always see these videos. There'll be the videos out there where people walk out there on their patio, and they throw water into the air, and then it's shown freezing midair.
Yeah, I've done that.
Oh, you've done that?
Yeah.
Where did you do that?
In Colorado.
Okay.
It has to be cold. It has to be probably freezing or below. I mean, zero or below. So if you're just like a 30 degrees or 27 degrees,
happen.
Probably not going to happen. But if it gets cold, like 0, minus 1, minus 4, something like that. I think that's what happens. And the key is, when you go out, you have to go out with a glass of or a cup of boiling water. So it has to be very hot when you throw it up in the air. So it's boiling, you throw it up in the air, and it just poof, turns into snow.
Now that's counterintuitive.
Kind of, except when you think about, if you think about the molecular properties of boiling water, the molecules are already wanting to kind of move around, and the bubbles are kind of making it expand.
They have issues.
Just cold water throwing it up that's not going to work. But if it's boiling water,
it's
really cool. It's really cool looking.
I'm going to try that.
And I don't know if it's going to quite get that cold here. You might have to travel up to.
It was 22 this morning here where we live in Mississippi. What are we going to get down to, Walker? Can I go out and do that one night?
Well, I'm not sure it'll freeze in there. It's going to get down
in
the teens.
Let me see. Tupelo weather.
Probably has to be negative, wouldn't you say?
I would think zero or negative, I think, is when it has to happen. You might find a YouTube video of it happening.
Okay, Sunday night, 15 degrees. Can I go out and do that?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. You could try.
All right.
The worst thing that happened is you put some water on your front lawn or whatever.
I guess somebody videotaped that.
It'll probably freeze within a few minutes.
Yeah, but.
Well, I know that.
Yeah.
15 degrees.
Right.
Walker, my son.
Well, it's close to instantaneous.
Yes, or something like that. All right, shall we let Steve Jordahl
go ahead
take
Steve.
Us to the news?
Why don't we do that?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
First thing I'd like to take us to is something that we've been kind of talking about for a while. This is the danger of the sanctuary city policies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that a Maryland county's refusal to cooperate with immigration officials may have caused led to the murder of a teenager. I think it was a teenager. So this gentleman named Jose Herrera, who was 18, was a native of Honduras. He traveled to the United States illegally, was given a criminal summons for an October arrest, and a warrant was issued after he failed to appear in court. So they arrested him for a felony. I don't think what it was, but. So he was arrested on December 12th, and he was released on December 22nd after posting a $100 bond. But despite the fact that the ICE had a detainer on him, they didn't tell ICE that he was getting out. 2 days after his release on Christmas Eve, the 18-year-old was gunned down and killed. Eyewitnesses told police they saw two Hispanic males fleeing the scene. The suspect has not been identified or found. Investigators say Herrera was targeted, but a motive was unknown. So, actually, the sanctuary policy actually got this guy killed. He would have been arrested and detained and thrown out, but since they didn't tell him he was getting out, he got out, and the gang caught up with him and shot him. So it's kind of an anti-sanctuary right. city kind of thing.
Yeah,
well, I know that Attorney General Jeff Sessions has made a couple of announcements that he was basically going to up in the efforts to take on these gangs.
Yeah.
The East Coast is MS-13 has been.
Is that a Mexican-based drug cartel gang?
I think it's Honduras or Central American-based, okay. And drugs are one of the things that they do.
Their roots are pretty heavy in the U.S.
Are they
pretty deep?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the modern day mafia, if you will.
The Hispanic mafia, I think, would be for younger.
And they're very brutal. It's like a click, meaning you gotta be initiated.
I got you.
Right. You probably kill somebody to be initiated.
I got you.
It's kind of a membership.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta be put in, you get the tattoos. These are the guys you see with the MS-13 tattoos on their faces. It's hardcore. Mm-hmm. They're really bad stuff, and they were having a big problem with them in Long Island, New York. A lot of these gang members were showing up and terrorizing communities in Long Island. New York City also being a sanctuary city, and Long Island, of course.
Was that El Chapo? Was that what he was?
I don't remember him. I think that was
different.
He was just a major drug lord.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Hey, look at the president. He's getting more popular as we speak.
We talked about that last hour, but give us your take.
Here's something interesting that Matt Drudge found. So the Rasmussen polls, as you probably talked about, show that President Trump is at 46 approval rating this morning with 53 disapproving. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know that what Obama's rating was at the same time, this exact time after his first year in presidency?
What were they, Steve?
46 approved, 53% disapproved. The exact same.
Hmm. What does that tell you?
It tells me that what can you say about approval ratings? You know, President Trump is climbing, and as the economy gets better, his approval ratings are probably going to keep going up. But mm-hmm. and President Obama, in the middle of at this point in his first term, he was talking about foisting Obamacare on the country, and it didn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't popular. So His popularity started pretty high when he was first elected, and it was diving at this point because he was proposing some pretty drastic legislation and policies that weren't popular.
Right. Well, what the Republicans and President Trump don't want to happen is what happened to President Obama in the midterm elections that first year, which would have been 2010, which was historic. The reaction to Obamacare in particular was so negative. And other things that President Obama was doing at the time perceived so negatively by, I guess, a majority of American voters who had just voted for him 2 years ago, many of them, but they voted in the Republicans, in a historic turnover in 2010. What I'm saying is, and that normally does happen, that is the president in the White House, his party usually loses seats in the House and the Senate.
Right.
And that'll be really the telltale of how President Trump is doing with
that. That has been a concern, I think, among President Trump supporters and among Republicans, is how is it going to look in 2018? Newt Gingrich had an interesting take on that this morning on Fox News in an opinion piece on Fox News's website. He says, get ready for the great political surprise of 2018. I don't think it'll rival 2016, but he says Republicans are going to win big, that the media has been deceiving itself kind of in its echo chamber.
Yeah.
You know what a media echo chamber is, where they one person says something and everybody kind of picks up on it, and it kind of becomes fact because so many people say it, but it has no basis in reality. And he says, reading from Newt Gingrich, after members of the elite media have spent 2 years savaging President Trump, lying about Republican legislation, and reassuring themselves that Republican defeat was inevitable, the size of the GOP victory in 2018 will be an enormous shock, he says.
Yeah, I think Gingrich is correct, but I will say I think the Republicans in Congress need to get They need one more campaign promise. I mean, Congress. They need one more campaign promise fulfilled. And they got tax reform, which is good. But there's a lot of time between now and November of 2018, and folks will forget tax
an eternity
reform.
In political time.
Yeah, so they can't sit on their hands between now and November of 2018.
What do you think it's going to be? What would you suggest it is?
I think they need to fund at least part of the wall on the southern border. I also like the idea of entitlement reform, which Paul Ryan has talked about. I think there's a lot of fraud in our entitlement programs, and so maybe that could be good.
So let me give you an idea of how you can get the wall, because I think the wall could be part of a larger infrastructure bill. Infrastructure, repairing, getting more roads and the what America lives on, the foundation of the American physical presence. Is infrastructure. It needs has been a needed update for years, and Democrats and Republicans both agree on this. I think President Trump could probably, and I would recommend that he, if he wants to have another boost in the ratings, he take on infrastructure as his next project, collaborate a little bit with the Democrats, but say that the wall is going to be in there. I mean, it is infrastructure.
Congress also needs to get more judges through.
They've been doing good on the judges, but you know where they haven't been doing good? They've not been doing good at replacing the entrenched political
bureaucrats.
Bureaucrats, yeah. Mm-hmm. The political appointees have been very slow in coming. Do you know that when President Clinton took office, Janet Reno fired every single Republican
U.S. attorney?
U.S. attorney. Right off the bat,
I didn't know
fired
that.
Him. Yeah,
you can do that.
It's what parties are supposed to do. I mean, you come in, you want a team that's going to do your agenda. This is your team. Mm-hmm. And she came in, and on the first or second day, she fired every single Republican federal attorney. And President Trump hasn't done that, but I think he would need to. Although people would cry foul, but they just have such a short political memory.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I know President Trump, unlike any other president in recent memory, maybe in history, has had to contend with the deep state and contend with people who are out to get him and hate him, who are in places of power themselves in federal government agencies, which we're finding out, which are thwarting. It takes time to get your people in place. And when the Democrats are resisting, at every turn, even appointments, then it becomes far more difficult to clean house, as it were.
Or drain the swamp. And not all of the problem are political appointments. Some of them are federal employees that just don't like the agenda and were bought into the Obama agenda. And they're going to keep fighting you. But if you have political appointees ride herd, the lower down, the more you get in there, they can ride herd. They know when someone's thwarting the will of the president, and they can stop it.
And let me ask you, Steve, if you and I, we didn't talk about this story prior to going on the air, so you don't even know what I'm going to ask you about, which makes it.
Drum roll.
Makes you. but I want to ask you this. I'm reading a headline that says, and this happened in California, this is why I was asking you about. Maybe you're following this. New York Governor Cuomo pardons 18 immigrants facing deportation. Now, this happened in California.
How did New York Governor Cuomo pardon California?
I'm saying New York Governor pardons 18 immigrants facing deportation. And this happened in California. Governor Brown did the same thing.
Oh, right.
Okay, so evidently these... I saw the piece.
I saw the Governor Brown article. I haven't read the one from New York, but I'm assuming it's the same. There is a tradition that some governors take advantage of putting out some goodwill pardons at Christmas time. And then, I don't know if it's someone that's
I didn't know what the story was there, but it sounds like the governors are trying to thwart the law. Sounds like they're trying. These people are here illegally. They're supposed to be. Sent back to their country of origin, and the governors say, No, we don't want that to happen. We're going to set them free before they...
You're reading it correctly, although okay. 18 people wouldn't really make a real right. dent in the ones that are up for deportation, but it is a symbolic poke in the eye
yeah.
From Governors Cuomo and Brown. Governor Moonbeam, as we used to call him in California. So, yeah, they're doing everything they can to...
I just wonder, why would you do that? What would be the motive for that?
Well, it's you have a base in California and New York.
Okay.
And you want, and your Democrat base wants you to resist the president at every turn. This is one thing you do to resist the president. The second part is they have a desire to see as many immigrants, legal or illegal, in their states as possible, because they are fairly reliable Democrat votes once they get the right to vote.
You know,
or
what's so bizarre
illegal.
Is the governor is
governor of New York,
Governor Cuomo, and he tweeted this when he was pardoning the 18 illegal immigrants. He says, while the federal government continues to target immigrants, notice he says immigrants, not
right.
illegal immigrants.
Right.
And threatens to tear families apart. Oh, what a bad picture. With deportation, these actions take a critical step to a more just, more fair, and more compassionate New York. And so Governor Cuomo is going to bat for people who don't even belong in his state. I mean, that's such a bizarre that the liberal mindset is we need to put people who aren't even legal in our country, we need to put them first before we do the actual citizens of our state.
So a governor has the, just like a president does, has the authority to pardon.
He has the authority to pardon people convicted of,
okay.
of state crimes, so not federal crimes.
Yeah. So you have people who are in prison for a crime they've been convicted of.
A state crime.
A state
a
crime.
A felony that they convicted that was not a federal crime.
Okay. And so the feds are going to come pick these individuals up because they're here illegally and
right.
and deport them,
right?
Right.
right.
And the governor, in this case, the governor of New York, calls over to the prison
right.
and says, "Hey, I'm setting these people free to go back into society before they're deported." True.
Yeah. Basically. If you pardon them, the underlying crime, whatever the second crime they committed, being the first being coming into the country, whatever the second crime they committed that got them put into prison when they were in this country is pardoned, then the thinking by the governors is then the president wouldn't have course to remove them.
Okay.
But I think that's fallacious. It might
be. There is one caveat to
yes.
this. And I say it's a caveat, not a...
I drove a caveat one time. Yeah.
How'd they go for
very,
you?
Very, very nice car.
Okay. Anyway, according to the Fox News website, it says, in a move seen as a rebuke to President Trump's strict immigration enforcement policies, mm-hmm. Governor Andrew Cuomo granted pardons Wednesday to individuals who were convicted of crimes but have since been law-abiding citizens of society, law-abiding members of society for 10 years or more.
Okay.
So I guess what he's saying, the governor's saying, hey, they haven't done anything since they committed their crime.
Maybe they were in prison the whole time. I'm not sure.
But well, yeah. That's a good point. That's a good question. But, you know, the point still is that, either illegal means illegal or it's not,
And this is
the word doesn't matter.
This is the disconnect, is
okay.
that people in sanctuary cities, they don't believe that there's anything wrong with someone crossing the border
right.
illegally, that it's not illegal, that we should welcome. There basically shouldn't be many borders at all, and so come on in, basically. And
they basically believe in taking the law into their own hands.
Yeah, or that they should, or that the law is unjust or unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. So you thwart it.
That's right, and that was what that teacher that you played last hour was
right.
talking about.
Right. So you know that's funny because they always tell us, you know,
they lecture
us conservatives when things like abortion are the law of the land. You need to respect it.
Exactly.
And yet,
exactly.
When it comes to being in America illegally, we're supposed to say that they say. Those laws shouldn't be there, therefore we're going to ignore them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, you notice very few times liberal victories rarely come through the Democratic legislative process.
Right.
Because they can't win on many parts, they can win in California through the legislature
right.
and in New York. But for the most part, their wins come through federal judges.
And we saw that most specifically when we were fighting about 2004, 5, and 6, when all those marriage amendments were passing.
Right.
And the will of the people was that the state define marriage as the union of one man and one woman. And they couldn't get the will of the people changed, so they went to court.
Right.
And so this is often what happens when they want to find some way to get something that's not really popular but was in their agenda. They just go to court and make it happen.
Yeah.
All right, Steve Jordahl, tell me you got something good to end on.
Well, I do. I got a kind of an interesting little thing. I have a new file. Probably one time we'll use this, but this is from the gaming file.
Shall we play a game?
Love to. How about global thermonuclear war?
There you go. You remember that movie?
That right there?
That was. Can you name the movie?
This play it again. Play it again. Let me hear it again.
Shall we play a game?
Love to. How about global thermonuclear war?
It sounds.
The actor you're hearing, the human voice, is Matthew Broderick.
Okay, is that Matt? Is that Bueller's Day Off or whatever it
the
was?
The same actor, but that isn't the movie.
Okay. What's the movie?
The movie's called War Games.
War Games.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's basically an anti-nuclear movie. But anyway, the reason I play this and why it's part of the gaming file is because the WHO, the World Health Organization, is about to recognize a disorder called gaming disorder. It's a mental health condition, and it's characterized by persistent or recurrent behavior patterns of sufficient severity to result in significant impairment in personal, family, social, educational, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. I notice while I'm telling you this, you're on your phone.
Yeah, I'm having to. I'm having to do something.
We might have to diagnose you.
But anyway. Yeah. I'm letting you take the show.
Steve. No, I don't mind that. It's just a little.
Yeah.
It's ironic.
It's a little ironic.
That is ironic.
Someone who can't stay off their devices.
I think Steve planned that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what the weather is because I'm looking forward to going out and throwing my boiling water up in the air and seeing it evaporate.
So they're saying too much video games.
Too much. So people are starting to play video games or so attached to devices that they don't eat. They don't interact with people. It hurts their human interaction. Mm-hmm. They get oppositional or defiant. Kids will misbehave, impairment control, they can't stop, they give, even with negative consequences, they have to escalate. It's like a drug.
Yeah.
Even though you get negative consequences, you get, for drugs, you get arrested or you get a bad hangover, you still keep going back, and they do this with gaming.
You know, some of the, I guess you would say, the people who go crazy, like the Sandy Hook shooter.
Yeah.
Some of these people, it turns out that they were basement dwellers, mm-hmm. and they played video games all day, played violent video games all day.
It does. So, there's a whole study, a line of study that says that violence like that desensitizes you to violence. Not everybody, though, is. I have a story here that we can tackle later about an 8-year-old who learned to drive on YouTube and then took the car down to McDonald's.
All right, you're going to leave me in suspense, huh? Because we don't have time to cover that story.
He got a cheeseburger. I don't know what he got, but...
Steve Jordahl, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be here all week.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Even though it's Thursday.
Duly noted.
He'll be here next week.
You know,
week.
I got today mixed up with Tuesday.
Yeah.
Has anybody else done that?
Huh? Yeah.
I thought today was Tuesday when I woke up. It's Thursday. Tomorrow's Trivia Friday, so we'll have fun tomorrow.
The first trivia question is going to be, what day is it?
You're killing me, Steve. See you next time, folks. Have a great day.